the brief was, we want to sell some more train tickets to Germany, where you can take go to Berlin for a techno party. You can go to Hamburg for the opera. They have a famous opera in Hamburg. Or you can go to Munich for the beer festival.
Oh, I love it.
And we made this, you know, audio journey with sound. And you definitely can hear, ah, now I'm Berlin. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Ah, this is the opera. And now we go to Munich.
That's great.
So, yeah, we can play with that.
I love it.
And the client just also loved the idea. So, yeah, it takes two to tango, as you say. The client also needs to value and understand if you want the effect of this, you know, you need to work with this in an ambitious and professional way.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Karsten Kems.
So there's something else, though. You talk about the value of silence. And that is super important for our lives these days now, too. So is there a moment where silence was better than the sound in a project that you worked on?
Well, if you want some attention, I mean, we can also use silence in the film. So really turn down and then it's only product sounds, or it could be heartbeats or something else, or then that gets your attention, heartbeats or other stuff, or you know, SMR things, and then turn up the music again. So we definitely use the power of, you know, silence, not silence, and then perhaps whispering a little bit, and then we can talk louder, you know, use the dynamics.
So a pause so can get people to lean a little.
Yeah, and if you, there's also this moving concept that if you start to speak slower, people think you're more clever. So there's, you know, sometimes you can do that as well.
I had not heard that, but I'll have to pay attention to that, definitely.
Yeah, but if, I mean, as a musician, I've played some gigs sometimes for a reception and people were just talking and talking and they didn't listen to the music at all. But then suddenly, if we start to play really, really soft, then people were, oh, I think the band is playing, that's better. Okay. The louder we played, the more they talked, the quieter we played, and suddenly, oh, there's a band there, let's listen.
That's funny how that
you
can, works.
Sometimes it doesn't work all the time. Yeah. But sometimes you really, oops, what happened? The volume went down. Oh, there's a, oh, sorry.
If there's a change, so it's, yeah.
There's a change rather than just, yeah, yeah, buy me and Jody, by the way. Yeah, 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 I hear you. Yeah, thank you, thank you.
Yes.
So we definitely are aware of that, when to use the silence, and also how often should you play the sounds, because if you can also play them too often, and how often are they getting played? So there's a lot of factors taken into that, and also which platform, you know, is it online? Is it if the sound is played in the movies? I was in the movies the other day, then you expect really good sound. And I saw a commercial the other day in the movies, and I could hear they didn't make the effort of making the sound good in the movies. It just sounded like, you know, stereo. They didn't use the surround sound. They didn't use the full spectrum of this IMAX movies. So. You also need to know that where is your sound going to be played? Is it a micro cheap speaker in whatever product, or is it going to be played in the movies? And you cannot have the same sound file for all platforms. You need different masters and different outputs for that.
Yeah, it's strange, because I know we had this discussion too, in that it's hard to listen to dialogue in some movies when you're watching them on your computer or when you're watching them on your television at home, because the dialogue is in a completely different space than it would be if you were listening in a theater, and it gets drowned out because everything around it is so loud. So I think maybe it's put to the middle or something like that, and everything surrounds it and makes it really hard for you to actually hear the dialogue. And this is why people turn on their closed captions, right?
Yeah, Usually you have the dialogue centered in the middle, but now with the spatial sound, you can also have the dialogues come in different places, but they can also confuse the brain because suddenly, actually, personally, I don't like this spatial with podcasts because I get confused left and right and suddenly, oh, where am I now? It can be a little bit confusing, but perhaps it's my age or the personality that some people might like it, but there's many things to consider, yes. But also using spatial sound, you know, if you put on a headset, you could have this, the sound goes around you somewhere. Oh, this is interesting. So it can be an experience.
Yeah, definitely.
We don't want that for every time you tap the volume up. You shouldn't have, you know, the song should be really short and non-branded. So there's different sounds for different moments.
Yeah, yeah. I know that when I'm watching a movie and someone on the screen is coming from this direction and I'm hearing it only in this ear, I think that's actually kind of innovative. Like that's
cool.
I like that.
That's what you expect. Yeah, yeah. We can hear they come from that side here, but... I'm also censoring in sound design at the Danish sound design education here at the University of Denmark. And there's this guy here who really took a scene from film and made everything spatial so you can hear from the front and the back. And he did a really amazing job, but it was also about, you know, when is it too much? When should we do a little bit less? Just like, you know, just because we can doesn't mean it adds value. Just like web pages, you know, in the old days, they have flashes and things moving in. And
oh, yeah, I remember those
all
days.
These transitions because we have, you know.
Yeah.
Now we just go back to give me a simple burger menu, click, contact, or whatever, help. Yes, usability is also very important. You know, sound usability, is it just simple enough for that, or are we trying to make a party here with sounds but that we really wasn't invited to do?
yeah. So you can do it, but should you?
Exactly, because with today's technology, we can do everything, and it's fairly cheap to produce a sound. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. But as I say to my clients, just because I have a camera doesn't make me a photographer. I mean, you can just go online on some kind of AI platform and make whatever you want to do. But what is it you want to do with it? And what is your audio footprint here? Are you creating more noise to the world, or are you actually adding value and meaningfulness to it?
Yeah, such a good point. Yeah. So going back to sounds for brands, like I know that you've worked on like Weetabix and Volvo and like some big brands out there, but is there a project that you did that you were really surprised at how the sound transformed that brand?
I think there's a couple of clients, but one of them is actually a Danish brand called DSB. It's the National Danish Railroad Company. And they have an audio logo made for many years ago, 1984, with the notes D, E flat, and B.
Okay.
DSB. So that's the, you know, the funny thing. And that was an old signal for the train station. And it was, they came to us, DSB, here for 6-7 years ago and said, okay, we have this sound that we play in the trains when the next station arrives. It says, da, 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 next stop, Toronto, or whatever. So everybody in Denmark know the sound, but it's getting outdated. It's getting, you know, it was very analog and not, you know, updated. So now they want to use it on TikTok, on the app, and in their commercials. So we took that sound and refreshed it, updated it, and now we make different versions of it where we just hum it and we can play it with a heavy rock guitar, we can play with different, you know, instruments to create the emotion we want to. And actually for that work, we're working with them for more than 5 years. We won Best Audio Brand Evolution Award this March.
Congratulations.
From Transform Award, a gold award for that. So I think it's a pretty good statement of, you know, just keep continuing, but keep updating all the time. Don't change it. Just make sure that it keeps staying relevant and updated without people noticing it. I'm pretty proud of that work.
Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
So that was an update of the sounds, like the instruments that were used. Is that?
Yeah, we use the notes always D, E flat, and B. Da, da, da. But they can be played with or with Christmas bells, etc. So people always, this is DSB, but in a funny way, like take the train to this rock festival, or take the train to Germany, then we play German Schlager, but with the same da 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 so we can play with that. The brief was, we want to sell some more train tickets to Germany, where you can go to Berlin for a techno party, you can go to Hamburg for the opera, they have a famous opera in Hamburg, or you can go to Munich for the beer festival.
Oh, I love it.
And we made this, you know, audio journey with sound, and you definitely can hear, now I'm in Berlin, oosh, oosh, oosh. This is the opera, and now we go to Munich.
That's great.
So, yeah, we can play with that.
I love it.
And the client just also loved the idea. So, yeah, it takes two to tango, as you say. The client also needs to value and understand, if you want the effect of this, you know, you need to work with this in an ambitious and professional way. Don't just change the sound because you don't like it anymore. As I say to many of my clients, when you're about to puke over the same sound, the audience might just have learned to like it or recognize it. So stick to it as well. So that's a client that I'm very proud of, and really think we are doing a great job. We also won an award for that. Another client was also, I would say, is ASUS. I think the sound design and the order logo we did for them. I mean, the real test, to be honest, Jody, I have a really good idea when I hear the order logo, when this is it. This is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I also have to say the client, this, trust me, this is the version you want.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really good because through my years, I've learned to, just like when you hear really good jazz or a band or tune, this is really good. This is going to be a new standard or a new classic. Because when I hear the ASUS order logo again here, even two or three years later after, it still sounds, this is amazingly good. I still love it. And these are the sounds you really, you know, you're proud of, that really sticks to you and really sounds updated or relevant even 5, 6, 7 years later. You made them, they still sound good, just like a good Billy Joel album. Sometimes I can just go back and listen to this old classic and sound, wow, this is really good music. I mean, wow, this is good.
I agree.
Perhaps it's our age too, I don't know, but I can also feel some new tracks. But I must say, I don't have the same feeling with all tracks I'm hearing new artists or new bands. But you know, some really good Coldplay or good Beatles or good whatever, or good Bach also, this is just supreme. This track cannot be done in a bit. This is how it should be.
Yeah. It's I think it has to do with the soundtracks that we grow up with too, because those always hold a more emotional part of our hearts, because they're part of our lives. And
you're right.
Yeah.
There's actually been a study for that shows that we create our musical preference, I think, when it's between, we are 17 and 21.
Really?
You know, when we're about to get, you know, the first boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, moving away from home. These really, you know, high peak moments in our lives where it could be the first real concert you went to, or the first drama your parents, whatever. It could be many things, but that's also, we're very open to the lives. And actually, the study has shown that the music we really love when we're around this age here sticks to us for the rest of our lives. So if you want to reach out to females who are between 45 and 55, you should look into which bands were up and hits back when they were between 17 and 21. And then, okay, was that Jackson or was it ABBA or who was it?
Yeah.
And then you can go into sections. Okay, these are the purple people. They probably listened to the rock, or these were the hippies. So you just play that and they go, oh, that was the time I met good old Johnny. Oh, I love that song. Oh, that was the song I met when I, you know. So it's a memory surgery, you know, tool to go back in line, and that we can. And it only works for us who has that memory. But I also see younger people listen to, I can look at my kids and say, you don't know, you're too old to like this music, you're too young to like this music. It was made 20 years before you were born, but it still sounds good. And that's why I say that's because a really good track from, you know, Michael Jackson in the 70s, or, you know, Billy Joel or Beatles or whatever we have, you know, if you still listen to them 10 years later and you still, wow, this sounds good, that's because it is a good track,
yeah.
A good song.
You know, one of my favorite bands is actually Queen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's always will be relevant because he's just so good.
Oh, yeah. That voice. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that voice, and the power of his voice, and also the change of his tracks. And when they came out, they said, this is never going to be a hit because it was opera, it was rock, it was, what is it?
The harmonies. And, the harmonies are what get me every time. Yeah. But that's why ABBA, like that's why I always liked ABBA, because of the harmonies. So, yeah, it's and I'm too young for that to really have been in my, 17 to 21 year old, but I was listening to it probably when I was around that age. So I don't know.
Yeah, I also feel that I was born in a century too late because I love the Miles Davis jazz and the Coltrane jazz, but that wasn't my youth. I also love the funk. I love the funk stuff, from the 70s funk and all that stuff. But that was, 10, 15 years before I was, 21 years old. I was born in 72. So, I heard the 80s music, which wasn't really my stuff. It was when the electro came out and
the Duran Duran.
Duran Duran. And also Kraftwerk, We Are the Robot. And that's where you could hear that the technology is shaping the style of music, because now suddenly the keyboards came out and the samplers came out and you get the Casio keyboards and stuff. And then everybody has to play on electrical drums. And it was sound so... So the music was formed by the technology and not by what the artist could play on. So it's a difference. There's some 80s albums that sound really, really bad, I would say, that were the recordings and the big symphonies and big bands were a lot better in the 60s and 70s, whereas suddenly what went wrong here? I think they're just trying to they got too much gear, too much compressors, and then the auto-tune came out.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
it was also suddenly a thing. Sheer was, everybody could use an auto-tune, and everything was auto-tuned. So yeah,
there's that whole, you can, but maybe you shouldn't.
I think it's just like with technology. We in a new e-car. Why do I need a touchscreen to open the glove compartment? Just give me a good old handle. I mean, I don't need.
Yes. Well, I mean, now we're talking about things that, maybe make things easier, but should you? we could also talk about AI, because of course that's taking all of this and putting it on its head and allowing you to make a song by pressing a button. So, I mean, and then, audio branding, like what happens to audio branding in the era of AI? Does that change?
It's going to be a tool. Yeah. I mean, we also use it as a tool today. It can analyze music. It can tag it. It can say, we can also use it for testing. If it is trained to listen to it, then it can simulate other people. But still, it's very much about emotions. And I think that's where a little bit it comes to short. So yes, we do use AI, but not for composing or creating. We might use it for some ideas or making something else. But it's just like, when the sampler came out, what should the drummers do? Now the drummer plays on top of sampler. So every drummer has a sampler or a drum machine next to him. So he can, he uses it as a tool. So I think it's going to be the same with the music for now. But I've also listened to some new tracks coming out only made by AI, and they're amazingly good. And they say it's only going to be better. So I don't know, Jody, perhaps in 5-10 years, you will listen to an album completely made by, one guy who used that together with AI. But I don't think I will go into a concert and listen to some avatars playing music. I still want to see the human flesh and blood and hear them play mistakes and making, hear them. Yeah. That's human. Yeah. We don't want perfect. Perfect is boring, I think.
Yeah.
So I also think we'll see a contra movement, just like this is made by humans, or we see with photos, this is not photoshopped, or there must be a law. Is this real human or is it not human made or made by wind, or this is organic, all this trademarks we have in the food stores now. I think it's the same coming with music. This is played by real musicians, or this is, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good point. And I agree. I tend to think that human created anything has flaws. And when we don't hear or see flaws, it seems weird to us. It doesn't connect. So
it seems not human. Yeah. And we are humans with emotions. And I mean, AI is going to be fantastic. It's really good for accounting. It's really good for making business terms. All these kind of boring, practical stuff. But making something completely new, I think, is perhaps not the, well, not this stage. Perhaps I'm wrong. If we have this meeting in
10 years from now, who knows, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, self-driving cars, drones, what have been up, you know, but I still think people like to talk to people and still want to listen to music that moves them. But it can probably be done with some AI. I wouldn't doubt that.
Well, created by humans, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But actually, at the Music Conservatory in Copenhagen, there was this discussion lately about, you know, people are getting into the conservatory and they cannot play an instrument. They are laptop musicians.
Oh.
Are they then musicians or not musicians?
Hi, this is Ted Rosnick, and you're listening to the Audio Branding Podcast, a great place to learn about how powerful sound can be. And if you want to learn more about it, keep listening.
That's a good question. I mean, they still have the musicality in them to create something musical.
But they cannot play the piano.
I know.
They
maybe they're more programmers.
They are. Actually, one of my employees, he got into the music conservatory in Denmark, which is pretty difficult, and the guitar. Then the guitar got stolen and he went on to laptops and he graduated as a laptop musician.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, good for him for branding. Moving on to something else.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that because also for the exams and for the rehearsals for getting into the school, I mean, in the old days, you have to play an instrument, a drum or a saxophone, whatever. It's okay now that because, yes, you can go online, you can download samples, you can download this, and you have a DAW, you have, you know, mixers. So what is music? I think it's an interesting discussion, and I don't think we can go into that today, but
it is a big discussion.
It's getting more and more complex, and you have people educated from schools who doesn't really, you know, they don't get educated in playing violin. Some people, of course, do that at classical schools, but at the Rhythm Conservatory, you know, you can be a laptop musician or something else.
That's really fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going on from AI created stuff to where the future of audio branding is going, what are you excited about for the future of audio branding?
I really hope that more and more users getting their, what you can say, ears open, say, wow, I don't want to. Just like the phone today, you have, you know, how many megapixels and 4K or 8K or whatever you have on TV. What about good sounds? And I hope we get this trademark, just as saw as one brand, German brand, has this silence series. So you can buy a mixer or whatever, hair dryer from another brand that is, you know, designed so it doesn't, you know, give you tinnitus when you use the hair dryer or the blender or the whatever. I also saw on a webpage going for shopping for a dishwasher that you can choose, you know, the size and the budget, but also how loud is it allowed to be.
Oh, okay.
But people don't know that it's the dB, you know, the meters for loudness is exponential. So 48 is not just 3 more than 45. It's a lot more than 45. So we need some kind of, what does 48 mean in terms of 43 means? Because the dishwasher that only has 43 dBs is perhaps $500 more expensive than the dishwasher that has 48 dBs. And then Mr. Johnson just say, wow, 5 dBs? No, come on. That cannot be. But then suddenly you cannot sit in your kitchen and eat while the dishwasher is going. It's just so what does that mean?
Yeah.
If you look into the energy, you know, we have A, B, C, D. I don't know how it works in Canada, but you probably have this trademark stuff, you know, if you buy or some kind of electrical device, it shows how much power it uses.
Yeah. Yeah, usually watts, I guess.
It's watts, but also we have the colors in Europe, A, B, C, D, where A is really good. It's low energy within that group.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
G is, you're very,
I think we have the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But what about sound? This brand, this product has been classified just like we have Dolby, we have Stereo, we have, you know, all these trademarks. This has been trademarked by Sonic Minds and it sounds good.
Yeah.
So I do think we get some kind of trademark, just like, you know, organically grown or the fish has been caught in a non-environmental damaging way, etc. And the same with sound. This doesn't, you know, if you're having hearing losses or having, you know, it's difficult hearing, then you don't want products that really annoys you. You want them to be able to understand them. So some kind of trademark within sound branding for products as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that definitely someone should look into that. What do you think, Karsten?
I do know that there are some apps today where you can choose restaurants just by the how much how high the volume is in the restaurants. Are they have they been damped in terms of different acoustics? My living room upstairs has actually acoustic damping wallpapers.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm noise sensitive, so I want to be in my own house where I can have a conversation without, you know, working on overload. So and when people come here, they always say, your place is so cozy, Karsten. Not in this bedroom here, but upstairs. You know why? Because we can talk without getting our brains overloaded. There's, you know, the speakers are right, the damping is right. So I thought about that. Yeah, you're right. Now I can hear that. Suddenly, yeah, my room is so boomy or so loud. Yeah,
sure. That's because you... I think offices should pay a lot of attention to that too. There's all sorts of things that this has applications for, yeah.
You should have a talk with Julian Tresh about this. He's the expert.
I have tried.
That,
yeah, will you tell him to come on this podcast?
He's really, he's a friend of mine. I've been talking to him some couple of times. We did a webinar with him last year. So he's.
I just saw one of his webinars, actually. Yeah. It was about 2 months ago, I think, maybe.
Yeah, he's on a tour now. I just bought his new book here as well.
Yes. But
he's also on the same quest. And I think we need to, you know, us audio branding, audio design guys, we need to stand together as on this quest, because there's 7 billion people in the world, and we still need. But also want to be honest to say that it is perhaps a luxury problem, Jody.
That That's true. We can talk about first world problem, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. If you come through, go to a country in war, Palestine, we don't even have water. You talk about sound design or noisy buses. You know, come on. You know.
Yeah, they're not going to care. And rightfully so,
yeah.
Honestly, you say, it's a luxury, but you know,
it's a luxury problems, but
if people are going to buy luxury products, they should sound as good as they look.
Again, and also, I mean, why should we make so much? I mean, if you go to other cities and you hear, Jesus, this is so loud here, you know, why is that? You know, that's because we have awareness about sound design. And that's also, Denmark is actually within sound, what Swiss is within watches. We have, you know, the city of sound is Struer. We have, you know, audio engineering. We have TC Electronics. We have Brüdercare. We have Bang & Olufsen. We have so many, for some reason, it's a hotspot within audio engineering and sound. So I think we should keep that position as one of our trademarks in Denmark and educate the whole world. I also think we get clients' requests from all over the world because we have this insight about, you know, what is good quality of sound.
I love it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Karsten. I know that we could probably talk about another 2 hours.
Done? I just thought that was the intro.
But no. Yeah, I really appreciate your time and I loved this discussion. And I'm so happy that you're getting some recognition for your work, which is fantastic. Congratulations on your award. And
thank you. We're trying to, you know, shout out without being noise, but still saying we pay attention to this, listen to this, and then yeah. Just keep doing it and on our quest here, and hopefully just us. And thank you, Jody, for the great work you're doing. I think you're a big help for the community and for the awareness of audio branding by doing these podcasts. I listen to them, and you're doing a great job. So thank you for your effort as well for the whole community and business of audio branding. It's important. It's really important
for
me.
Thank you. I think it's important too. Yeah. So I'm glad we had this discussion.
So keep on hanging there, Jody, and do your podcast.
You keep on too.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.